I also was just about to be like, on the count of kick.
Kick! Kick! Oh, it's so good. I also always love, did you say Abe Lincoln?
Yeah. I said, hey, Blinken. He's like, I could hear that coming a mile away. Part of me who's talking.
That is a really good one that I forgot. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood boys.
Bollywood biker boys.
Oh my God, so many biker boys.
So many. And they all live together in one small lair.
Yeah, but it's like cement. And yeah. They also, it's a garage. And they're pizza boys.
And they're pizza boys. Bollywood and, pizza boys.
And sometimes one of them is shirtless, but no one else is. Which was slightly confusing to me.
Shirtless, playing basketball, also in heeled boots. But let's talk more about Doom and Doom, the other things that are maybe more plot relevant than...
I mean, that's suspicious, okay? All of your friends are fully clothed and you're just bopping around without a shirt on for no reason.
Right, yeah. That's how you know that you're up to something.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Doom?
What did I think of Doom? I had really high expectations because Doom 2 is one of my favorite Bollywood films. And it was a great time. I had a good time.
Yeah.
But it didn't give me the same level of joy I get from Doom 2.
Yeah. I agree with that, and I was trying to suss out whether that was because Doom 2 has become such a fun and exciting experience. Like, if I had seen Doom before seeing Doom 2...
Oh, I would have loved it.
Would I have loved it more? And I do feel like maybe that's the case. You know, sometimes it does happen that the sequel is better than the original. And
Yeah. And you're right. And I think it's hard to separate the fact that, like, we have watched Doom 2 so many times.
Right.
And now it's less about the film itself and more about how it makes us feel when we watch it.
Exactly, yes.
Which I think is how people feel when they watch Doom.
Yeah.
You know, if they watched it in theaters when it first came out and were part of that cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did enjoy it. I enjoyed seeing Ali and Jay's initial, like, their origin story.
Origin story, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, what were your thoughts?
I agree with everything that you have said. I had a great time, had a blast. I do think that, you know, we'll see what Doom 3 is like, but I do think one of the fun things about both Doom 1 and Doom 2 is that even though there is, like, a clear criminal, there's not necessarily a clear villain. Like, I don't think Kabir is necessarily a bad guy. He's just a guy who wants to steal some money.
Yeah, he's not actually, like, hurting anyone.
Right, and he's a little flawed, as we'll see, but who isn't, you know?
Right? He's a little unhinged,
though. He's a little unhinged. Again, the basketball with the jeans and the no shirt is a choice.
I was thinking of the car thing, but also that.
Yeah, I just, there's something fun about that. There's something fun about having a character who's unpredictable, but not necessarily pure evil. Because I do think that sometimes a Bollywood villain can just be kind of a caricature of a villain.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I feel like there were too many people.
There were too many
people on the crew.
Yeah, and yeah, so you kind of didn't know who most of them were. I only named two of the crew guys because they were the only ones who I felt like it was important to keep straight, which was which.
Yeah, also, like, spoiler alert, one of them dies, but I didn't even notice.
You didn't notice he died?
I didn't notice he died. I don't know. Maybe I looked down or something. And then they were just like, Rohit's dead. And I was like, oh, whoa.
Well, don't worry. I'll explain it all to you, how poor Rohit meets his demise.
Great.
I did also enjoy the music a lot.
The music was fantastic.
It was a lot of fun. All the dance numbers were super colorful and just like exactly what I was hoping they would be. And I was thinking about how I feel like Pratham is such a good composer, because like when I think about the music he's done for more current movies versus mm-hmm. music in the early aughts, it's very clearly rooted in a time period, you know, like this music feels early aughts as well as Bollywood-y. And then the music he's doing for things now feels very now.
I agree with that. Yeah. No, the music was fantastic. Like, all of the soundtrack and sound editing, I thought, was spot on.
Very spot on. And it also did make me even more excited for Doom 2's soundtrack, which is even better.
I am so pumped for Doom 2. Like, if Doom accomplished anything, it was getting me real excited to watch Doom 2. Yeah. Yeah.
Are we ready for our cast?
Yes.
Okay. So we have Abhishek Bachchan as Jay mm-hmm. Dixit, which I do need to say, like, I feel like I am constantly, like, reawoken to how attracted I am to Abhishek Bachchan. Like,
I love that for you.
I sort of forget about him, and then I'll watch a movie with him, and I'm like, my God, that man is handsome.
I don't feel that consistently.
Yeah.
But sometimes I do.
Sure.
It just depends.
Depends on the movie.
On a lot of factors.
On your mood, sure.
Yeah. He's got such long legs.
He does have long legs.
Like, you see him dancing with next to other people, and it's like, your legs are, like, a foot longer than all of their legs.
He's also, like, so much taller than everyone else around him. He's got a tall dad, he's a tall boy.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've also got Uday Chopra as Ali mm-hmm. Khan. We've got John Abraham as Kabir. And then we've got our ladies, Rimi Sen as Sweetie and Esha Diol as Sheena.
I will say I don't really feel like the women had much of a role or a point in this film.
I agree. Yeah, which is not to blame the actresses. Definitely, they were not written to be very compelling characters.
Right. And I guess I wouldn't say that the female lead in Doom 2 is, like, a quote-unquote compelling character, but at least she does stuff, you know?
Yeah, I feel like she's got some depth to her, you know? She goes through some ups and downs and betrayal and all sorts of good stuff.
That's true, and, like, she can steal stuff.
That's true.
And I know we're supposed to believe that this one woman also can steal stuff, but it seems like her main role is to be hot.
Yeah. Yeah, to, like, distract people. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, to be fair, was a very early 2000s
This is true.
Device.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Across Hollywood, across Bollywood, I acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Also, Sweetie is kind of a jerk. Like, she's kind of a jerk in the second film.
I know. And I think I had always assumed that we, like, got to see Sweetie and Jay fall in love in the first Doom. And then, like, when we see her in Doom 2, it's sort of like, oh, okay.
This is,
we're just getting her out of the way so we could, like, have other women, which is not great. And we'll talk about that next week. But, like, no, she kind of is mean from the start. She's kind of sucks the whole time.
And I'm like, why are you with her?
You could do better, Jay. Although Jay's kind of a jerk.
Jay's kind of a jerk, and Jay doesn't have much of a personality either.
No, he really doesn't. Yeah, none of our characters are meant to have much depth. And so they don't.
Right.
Last but not least, Sanjay Godvi was our director. And of course, this is a Yash Raj film.
Yes.
Shall we plot it up?
We should plot it up. We should plot the heist on our hearts.
It's very well said.
I didn't know where that sentence was going.
You started it and you let it just lead you where it would.
Yes.
All right. So we open with the YRF Films logo, but with a new backing track of motorcycle engine sounds. So we know we're in for some fun. A fleet of motorcycles chases an armored van through traffic. And as the van passes through an intersection, a man with a computer hacks the traffic lights so that the police cars flanking the van get stopped at a red light.
Mm-hmm.
The motorcycles stop the van. I didn't write down how this happened, but somehow they cause the van to, like, explode upwards and fall on its side.
Yeah, I also was like, oh, well, we're in it. I think guess
they, like, shot
that.
Something at it, whatever. So van is on its side. The motorcycle riders get in, take all the cash, and get away. Meanwhile, the cops are still stuck at the red light, and when they make it through the intersection, they come upon the empty van, and we get our title card, Doom.
Doom, Doom.
Cut.
I can't not.
I know, you have to do it. Cut to a man waking up to find a scantily clad woman painting in his kitchen.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know how, like, you get all oiled up and put on your low-rise short shorts and your push-up bra to paint the ceiling? Like,
your
we
bathing
all do?
Suit, your bikini top yep. under, like, a tied shirt, yep. and your pink eyeshadow. Yeah, that's yep. what I wear when I'm doing household chores.
The go-to look. Mm-hmm. As I stretch sexily up toward the ceiling.
Right, yes. This is Jay and his new wife, Sweetie. And as he pulls her down from the ladder, we go right into our first dance number, Shikdu.
I enjoyed it.
You gotta whisper it. Yeah, this was a good one. You mentioned the short shorts already, but yeah, we're back in the era where your shorts really only needed to cover your pelvic bone.
Yeah.
And the rest of your body was fair game for exposure. Which is fine. Yeah. People can expose their
you
bodies
can.
In this way, but like, it's not the most flattering look for most women.
No, and I personally don't miss that.
Neither do I. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You could pry my high-rise shorts and jeans and everything off my cold, dead body.
We're living in it.
I don't That's... care if it ages me. It's who I am.
That's where we're staying. Yeah.
This is like a fun, sexy little love song mm-hmm. between the two of them. I like that there's a moment where he sprays her with the hose and then she's wrapped up in a towel and she gives him a quick flash.
Yeah, of course.
Just a really quick yeah. one. But then she goes into the bedroom and she puts on sexy lingerie.
Yeah.
But then they get into bed to have sex and it's like, you were naked and yeah. then you put on the lingerie and then you got naked again. Or
this
you were going to get naked again.
This is what's wrong with how sex is presented to the public. Realistically, it's like...
misrepresentation.
Yeah, who cares? If there's fewer barriers, let's go.
Let's do it. Yeah, like, I understand wearing lingerie, like, that being the point of
At
a
the,
thing.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, be amping up and then stop and put lingerie on just for it to be
I
taken
feel
off.
Like, yeah, I feel like I'd be like, well, I guess we'll just do that next time.
Yeah, exactly. We'll save that for later.
Also, so, did you notice they have a waterbed?
I did notice that they have a waterbed.
That was, like a lot.
Around.
I was like, that would make me seasick.
Have you ever slept on a waterbed?
No.
I have before, and yeah, it was a lot of ups
sloshing.
And downs. Yeah, that was...
And I just imagined certain sexual activities on a waterbed.
Yeah, even more moving.
Yeah. It also just makes me think of the Goofy movie.
Oh, yes, always. Yeah. I feel like there were fish in that waterbed, too, which I don't think they usually have.
Weird.
As the number ends, the couple disappears under the sheets, but then the phone rings, and it's Jay's work calling, and he has to leave, and Sweetie says that he works too much, and she's not happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, his job is important.
It is important, and it is one of those jobs where it's, like, very unpredictable. You don't know when you're going to get called into the crime scene.
Yeah, and I feel like if my husband were, like, a cop versus a businessman, like, I understand being mad if it's like, well, do you really have to take that business call right now? But, like, if you save lives, like, if your job is anything that involves saving lives...
Then, yeah, you should probably take your calls when you're on call.
Yeah.
Anytime you're on call for your job, you should take calls, whether you're saving lives or not.
That's true.
But so we cut to the scene of the crime, and Jay is a cop, as we've said, and one of his fellow cops breaks down what has happened with this heist. Jay reasons that someone must have tampered with the traffic lights, and then he assures his fellow cop that if they find one of these bikers, rest assured they will find the rest of the pack.
I mean, yeah, that is how that works.
They ride together, so yes, that will happen. Mm-hmm. So we go now to a motorcycle race where a rider named Ollie is lagging behind the rest of the pack. There are people taking bets, and the odds for the drivers is changing in real time, which is wild. And Ollie waits until his odds are down to like 20 to 1 against him. And then his friends place bets on him, and then he just zooms to the front of the race and finishes first.
Yeah, I think that's exactly why they typically
don't do
change
that.
The odds during a race. Yeah.
But not at this track, so they can get away with it. The cop who Jay was talking to earlier sees this and takes note of Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
We learn that Ollie loves the ladies, but the ladies don't necessarily love him back.
Yeah, he's, like, really obsessed with women.
He, like, really wants... But he wants a girlfriend. He wants a future partner and a wife. He's a little creepy, but he's also really trying to not be creepy.
He comes on so strong.
He does, though. Yeah. Like, I think he would really benefit from some dating advice from a woman.
Yeah.
And then it would be, like, he'd be getting all the attention.
Mm-hmm. Also, I like that the same thing that happens in Doom 2 happens in Doom, where he just, like, pictures, like, the fantasy of this woman, like, riding on the back of his motorcycle and, like, babies and, yeah.
Yeah, that happens throughout the movie. We see fantasizing about the life with the woman that he has just met. Also, we learn that he sells stolen motorcycles, so he's kind of a criminal, but...
Yeah, but like a casual criminal.
Yeah, and again, he's a pretty nice guy. He means well.
It's cool. He's a cool guy.
He's a cool guy motorcycle thief. Later, we see Ollie rescue a stray puppy from the middle of the street that's about to get hit by a car, but then he ends up getting hit by the car himself. Sweetie sees this, and she's also a vet, and so she brings Ollie back home with her to nurse him back to health, and also the puppy.
It's a cute little puppy.
It is a cute little puppy. And so Ollie is, of course, very into Sweetie, but then finds out that she's married. And as he is coming to know this, Jay comes home and is a little confused that there's just a random man in his house.
Sure.
Which is fair. Sweetie introduces them and gives Ollie some food and tells him to come back for more anytime.
Yeah. I don't know if I would bring home a strange man.
I definitely
to my
wouldn't.
Empty house.
Yeah, no.
Like, I'd be like, I will drive you to the hospital.
Even if he did save a puppy, I don't think I would want to be alone with a strange man in any circumstance, really.
So, you know, there's that.
Again, this is how we know that there weren't women involved in the crafting of this tale.
Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, Sweetie's safe. Everybody's fine. At work the next day, the cop who went to the bike race shows Ollie's picture to Jay, and so Jay now suspects Ollie of committing the robbery from the start of the film.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows who Ollie is, and so he goes to Ollie's garage and pretends to be in the market for a super-fast motorcycle. Ollie says that he can get Jay what he wants as long as Jay is okay with the bike not coming with papers, i.e. being stolen.
Wink.
Jay says that he is fine with this, so they head to a market where Ollie warns Jay to keep to himself. But Jay accidentally bumps into a man who gets aggressive, and so Jay takes off his glasses, which we come to see is a warning sign of impending violence, and he knocks this man to the ground. The guy gets up and is like, wait here, and then leaves, and Jay does wait there.
I don't know why.
I don't know why, and then the guy comes back with dozens of dudes with him.
Of course he does.
Right, that's what was always going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But Ollie sees this, and he rides to Jay's rescue, and they escape on Ollie's motorcycle. As they flee to safety, Ollie asks Jay what gang he's with, and Jay says he's with the police, which Ollie doubts and repeatedly calls the police stupid.
Yeah. This is another thing. I do feel like Ollie, if he just listened better or used his brain more, might have more of a chance. With
took people's words at face value. Yeah.
Yeah.
He drops Jay at a building, which Jay says is his office. And Ollie realizes that Jay is, in fact, a cop. His office is the police station. And as he realizes this, Jay takes off his glasses and knocks Ollie unconscious.
Jay's very chill about this whole thing.
He is. Yeah, he's pretty laid back. Jay is interrogating Ollie about the robbery, but at that moment, he gets a report of another heist that has just happened, so Ollie cannot have been involved. I do feel like he still could have been, but he's not, so it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Although I feel like this would have gone over a lot better had we not already seen Doom 2. Like, if I didn't already know that they're buddies and they fight crime together.
Oh, sure.
In this first movie, I might have been like, oh, what if he is part of the gang the whole time, you know?
Yeah, that's a good thought. And I would wonder, like, what people did think when they saw this for the first time. Because I felt like it felt very clear from the storytelling that Ali was a good guy. And so, like, it either would have been, like, a big twist that he actually was involved with the crime or he definitely wasn't. So who knows?
Yeah.
We cut to the next heist in progress, and we see the same biker gang as before, all riding away from the scene of the crime and peeling off in different directions. So the cops who are following them also drive in different directions. We follow along one of the bikers, who removes his helmet to reveal flowing locks, and he tosses his helmet behind him, and the cops, like, crash because they hit the helmet. And then the biker turns on his nitrous oxide and speeds away.
It was a very cool move, but I did laugh that, yeah, they have NOS.
Yeah, you gotta.
Right. But I'm like, oh, you talked to the Fast and Furious guys.
Had Fast and Furious come out by this point? Okay. When was the first Fast and Furious movie?
I want to say 2002.
Okay.
2001.
Yeah, so it's been a few years. So this is Kabir. He is the leader of the biker boys, and we see him rejoin his gang as they ride into the back of a truck. The cops speed past the truck, not realizing that the culprits are safely tucked inside.
Mm-hmm. I always like that system. They do that in The Place Beyond the Pines,
too. It's a good one. Yeah, it's clever. Yeah. And then we see the biker boys on scooters at a pizza parlor where they all work together.
Yeah, I love it.
They just threw this shot in so randomly that I was like, is this going to be somehow related to the next heist?
The heist?
But now this is like how they met.
Their normal job.
Yeah, they just work at this pizza parlor. Jay's boss asks him if there are any clues from this most recent robbery, and Jay says no. He also says that they need to stop thinking like cops and start thinking like thieves, and clearly he is hatching a plan.
Yeah.
So Jay goes home, and he once more finds Ali there. Sweetie is giving him ice for the bruise from where Jay hit him. Jay blackmails Ali, saying that he has to help with this heist case or else Jay will tell Sweetie about Ali being a thief and he'll never be invited over for snacks again, which is a big threat, and Ali agrees, especially when Jay threatens to once more remove his glasses.
Yes. I also think it's very interesting, like, knowingly keeping around a guy that you know wants to be with your wife.
Like, yeah, I guess he's confident that that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen, right. But it's still, like, a weird vibe.
It is a weird vibe. Because it could also make things uncomfortable for Sweetie to have him around. Yeah, although Sweetie, like, seems to like Ali in a he's kind of a lost puppy way. So I think everyone gets what they need out of this relationship. That's true.
That's a good point.
Then we cut to the biker boys in their lair, which, as we mentioned, is kind of a dark cement place with car stuff around. One of the biker boys arrives in a fancy car, and he asks Kabir what he thinks. And Kabir takes the car for a spin, but then he drives it off a cliff, jumping to safety as the car plummets to its car death.
Yeah, he really could have just been like, nah, man, you gotta take that back.
You gotta get rid of that. Yeah, this is where, again, he is a little bit unhinged.
Yeah.
Kabir says that thieves need to vanish like smoke, and then he walks away in slow motion.
I mean, that is true, though. It did make me think of Crew.
Yes.
Because that was what raised some flags.
That's the tip-off. Yeah, you gotta spend your money modestly or leave town.
Yep.
Back at the police station, Jay has figured out that all of the heists have happened along the same stretch of highway, and he therefore assumes that the next target is going to be kind of the next spot going down this highway.
He's so good at patterns.
That is such a Harleen compliment.
It really is. Well, and I should maybe save that for Doom 2, because that pattern is really ridiculous.
The police work is, it really leaves something to be desired in these movies.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of the fun.
We're brilliant. We figured it out. Don't ask us how. It's fine.
The cops and Ali then station themselves around this bank that they think is going to be the next target. They are all quote-unquote incognito, which really just they're like in costume. Ali is dressed as a clown, which is very conspicuous.
Yeah.
At one point, Kabir and Jay walk right past each other, Jay having no idea he is in close proximity to the man he is hunting.
Mm-hmm.
That night, Ali and Jay are watching the bank from Jay's car when a beautiful woman stops nearby in a fancy yellow car. Ali wants to rush to this woman's rescue, but Jay won't let him until the woman comes right to their window to ask for help with her car.
Yes.
And this brings us into our next dance number, Dilbara.
I think this is my favorite.
Oh, really? This is a cute one.
I think so. Yeah, I was like, you know, it's given me some My Name is Ali
yes.
vibes.
I did feel like there was kind of a corresponding song in Doom 2 to all of these songs.
Yes, yeah. There's a formula.
Exactly.
It's yeah. fine.
It is fine.
I also like that, like, the backup dancers, this was what really sold it for me, but, like, there's all these guys dressed in white uh-huh. who are the backup dancers, and they're just dancing in the rain, and it really gave me a Backstreet Boys vibe. So sure.
Yeah, all the guys, like, they're, like, cab drivers or something. They get out of their yeah. car, they join in the dance. I love it. So we see Ali dancing in the rain as he is fixing this woman's car, and Jay looks on disapprovingly.
He's such a grump.
He is a grump. In the end, this woman drives off and Ali doesn't know who she is. The next day, Jay is scolding Ali for trying to find out more about this woman when he hears motorcycle engines, but Ali says the bikes are not approaching the bank, they're heading away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So he and Ali get on Ali's bike and chase after the gang. When the biker gang splits up the way they did before, Ali and Jay end up chasing Kabir, and they manage to keep up with him even after he jumps over a passing train.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was cool. It was lucky that there were two, like, low cars that went by at the same time.
Yeah, and, like, a hay cart that they could use as a ramp.
Very helpful. The gang comes back together, and Jay shoots at Kabir, but Kabir ducks, and the bullet hits one of the other biker's bikes instead. The biker falls off his bike, but Kabir manages to hoist him up onto his bike, and they turn on the NOS, and off they go, speeding to safety.
Pretty impressive. That would require a lot of core strength
yeah.
and balance.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very well done, Kabir.
Mm-hmm.
We go now to the pizza parlor, where there is tension among the biker boys. What a fun sentence.
Yeah.
The one who got shot is Rohit, and Rohit's brother, Rahul, is worried that Kabir isn't doing enough to keep the cops at bay. But Kabir says it's all fine, he's gonna do what needs to get done.
Also, why is it all on Kabir? Why aren't we all putting our heads together to problem solve
here? Well, Kabir's the leader, and he's also the one who crashed the one guy's car, so I think maybe that everyone's a little true. Mad at Kabir.
They're kind of in a toxic relationship with this man.
Yeah, we don't ever find out what their motives are beyond just wanting money, and so yeah. I don't understand why, like, once they start to get annoyed with Kabir, the guys aren't just like, you know what,
I think
I've stolen enough money. I think I'd like to just go home now.
That's a good point. Well, probably because Kabir, I don't know, who knows what could happen. It's the implication.
It's true. Yeah, like he could get dangerous.
Yeah.
But so then Jay and Sweetie arrive at the pizza parlor. They're just here for some pizza.
What are the odds?
It's probably pretty small.
Actually, right, because I was just thinking, generally, people have a go-to pizza place.
Right, so they wouldn't keep...
And once you have that, yeah, you don't really try other pizza places. You're like, this is my pizza place.
Unless your pizza place closes.
Mm.
And also, Jay and Sweetie did just move into their house, so maybe they're trying out new pizza places.
Aha, okay. Well, you know what? That makes sense.
I'm glad we've worked out the logic of this. Even more of a coincidence, right as they're sitting down, a news report about Jay going after the bikers comes on the TV, and the whole restaurant applauds Jay. They're like, oh, hey, that guy's right there.
I would not recognize. Maybe I'm just unobservant, but if, like, some guy who was having an interview on TV, like, walked into the restaurant where I was, I wouldn't notice.
I don't think I would either, because, like, there have definitely been times where I've questioned that, like, whether I would recognize, like, a celebrity if I saw one. And I definitely right. wouldn't with enough confidence to be like, that's them, unless someone else yeah. was there to confirm it for me.
Right. And it's like, I'm not looking at everyone walking through the door.
Right. Yeah. So it's like someone must have noticed and then everyone started pointing.
Well, and I guess if everyone, you know, if one person starts clapping, another person's like, I can't let them clap alone.
We all have to clap now.
Why are we clapping? It's like being on an airplane when people clap when you land. I'm like, I don't know what to do here.
That is so funny because you've talked about that before. And I've been on a lot of airplanes in my life and only like twice has that happened.
What?
But I feel like
it's happened so many times.
So many times to you, which I think is so funny. I guess I just like, I must bring such a negative energy onto a plane that it seeps
just
into
the entire plane.
Else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're just like a walking rain cloud.
Yeah, you can all tell that I'm that kind of person. Anyway, so this news report doesn't go over well with Kabir. He's getting a little cranky. And so the next day he calls Jay and he tells him that he likes his style, but he's too overconfident and he will never catch the biker boys. He says that he could walk right by him in a crowd and Jay would never know he was there. Kabir is so sure of this that he promises to tell Jay the location of the next heist on one condition. If Jay doesn't stop the heist, he has to drop out of the case. Jay agrees to this and he goes to a mall to meet with Kabir. Kabir bumps into Jay, pretending to be visually impaired, and Jay once more doesn't realize how close he is to his target, and he starts helping Kabir across the mall. Kabir says that Jay is too good, and Jay says that evil is always a step behind goodness.
Yeah, I don't think Kabir's evil. I know you mentioned this.
Yeah, no, yeah. Kabir just wants money, which don't we all?
Yeah.
Jay turns away from Kabir for just a second, but as he is turning back, Kabir has disappeared. Jay looks around and then spots Kabir, now having dropped his disguise, just as he is getting on his motorcycle and riding away. So Jay realizes that he has been duped.
Oh, man.
He also realizes that Kabir has given him a note that says, December 17th, Chief Minister's Charity Function.
Now, okay, you're stealing from charity. That's not cool.
That you're right. Yeah, that's rude. but I guess really he's stealing money from the rich people that the rich people intended to go to charity.
Yeah.
It's still not great. I don't know why I'm trying to justify this man's actions.
Because, yeah, it's not like the rich people are going to be like, oh, okay, I'll just double my loss and still donate that money to charity.
Donate more money to charity. No, yeah. Yeah, rich are, for the most part, famously not great at that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, Act 2 opens back at the biker boy lair. This is the scene where Kabir is playing basketball shirtless in jeans with high-heeled boots. That's really the only reason that I wanted to bring up that scene.
Yeah, and I just, again, it wasn't like he was in the process of putting on a shirt.
No.
And he wasn't even, like, sweaty. Like, it's not even like he was working out. He was just, like, chilling without a shirt on and everyone else is fully clothed.
Yeah, if he had been wearing exercise shorts and sneakers and was shirtless... Absolutely, I understand what's happening in that scenario.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, didn't make any sense, but that's okay.
Gratuitous shirtlessness.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Here it is. This brings us to the charity function, which is also a dance show, because we get our next dance number, which is, of course, Doom Machale.
Yeah.
And I'm picking this for my favorite, because...
I think that's a good choice.
Yeah, and I think we're going to need to have all the Doom Machales on our playlist.
Yeah. I'm very excited for the Doom 3 one, which I've never seen.
Yeah. Had you seen this one?
No.
Great.
But I have now.
Yeah, we're excited to still continue to have that experience. The pretty lady from the car song descends from on high, and she leads the show. This woman's name is Sheena. I'm going to say her name now so I can call her something other than the pretty lady.
That's fair. Yeah.
And this, just a fun dance number. There's ladies in bikinis, which we see a lot of in the Doom franchise, at least what I've seen of it.
Yeah.
A lot of midriffs. And I particularly like that at one point we like change costumes and change vibes. And suddenly there's like a big spider web on the floor.
Yeah, that was cool.
And everyone's wearing like gothic pirate costumes.
I do. Yeah. I love the chaotic energy.
Yes.
Because that also happens in Doom, too. It's like, why are there all these giant gears and, like, wrenches and stuff?
That's true. Yeah, that's never really established. It's just, this is where this dance number happens.
Yeah, yeah. It's great.
It is great. I'm very much looking forward to it. Yeah, we'll have to do like a compare and contrast of all the Doom songs and
yes.
Yeah, see how we feel about them. See if anything can shake Doom 2 Doom because Machale that's the thing.
I do prefer the beat of the Doom 2 Doom Machale
yeah.
over the first one.
I agree. And also, I do like that it's in English. I like that I can actually yeah. sing along to it in my car instead
what
of just like more? Humming.
Come on, you people.
Yeah. But so after this dance number, an announcement comes on saying how much money the charity has raised, and they go to celebratorily heist, not heist, they go to...
Freudian slip.
They go to hoist the money up out of the stage to like show off how much money they've gotten, but inside this big clear ball that's supposed to apparently hold all the cash everyone's donated, there's only like 4 bills just kind of hanging yeah. out in there.
It's really sad.
It
yeah.
is so sad.
You also just, you picture the poor person who organized this whole event, and they're like, this is going to be awesome. And
people
then
are going to freak out.
Oh God, I've lost my job.
All the money's gone. Yeah, it's very sad. We then see Kabir light 2 walls of fire, and this yeah. creates a path through which the biker boys escape.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd starts to flee. The stage also catches on fire, and Ali...
Yeah.
rescues Sheena from the blaze.
Yeah. I'm just like, why'd you have to choose fire? Like, was that necessary?
I know, and especially when we find out that Sheena's like one of the gang, like, that's just mean. They almost yeah. set her on fire.
Yeah.
Jay ends up getting in front of the bikers as they're trying to ride out, and he is shooting right at Kabir, but Kabir knocks him over. Jay misses his shots. Kabir knocks him into the flames.
Like, these biker boys aren't carrying weapons.
No.
You know what I mean?
They're not here to kill anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jay, like, was aiming to, like, kill.
Yeah. That's true.
Just feels important to
Right. He could have tased them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But Jay stands up. He is on fire. But he does manage to shoot one of the bikers. And then he suddenly isn't on fire anymore. It's just
Yeah, it kind of just fizzled out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jay has shot and killed Rohit. And he looks at Rohit, lying dead on the ground, and realizes that he saw him at the mall and also at the pizza parlor. And so he remembers all the faces of all the men who he saw in both places, which actually is some good police work.
That's impressive, yes.
So now he knows who all the members are of the gang.
I still would argue that Rohit didn't need to die. That he could have shot him in the leg or something, or like the,
well,
you know.
He needed, I guess that's true. He could have been wounded
and, be
and
in the
we
hospital.
Still needed someone. Yeah. I guess, you know, not caring enough about Rohit to care whether or not he
that's
died.
Fair.
I didn't even think about it. Jay then goes to Ali and he yells at him for spending time trying to save Sheena instead of trying to stop the bikers from escaping. And the two of them get into a fist fight. And this fist fight makes the news. And then in an interview with a reporter, Jay does say that he is dropping himself from this case.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do think that it's proof of how much I didn't like Jay's character and how mean he was to Ali that I was totally just like, yeah, Jay would do that. I believe that fight happened. Because Jay is just like so mean to Ali and Ali's so helpful.
Yeah. I was definitely like 50-50. I was like, I won't be surprised whichever way this goes.
And I sort of thought it was going to be that they had a real fight, but then Ali goes to Jay and is like, listen, I've got an in and I like want to do mm-hmm. this for you. But anyway, back with the biker boys, Rahul, who remember is Rohit's brother, he wants to get revenge. But Kabir's like, nah, we don't need to do that. We should stay focused. Who cares about the cops?
Yeah.
I guess that's another reason they felt like they needed to kill Rohit to make the revenge.
Oh, right.
More. Make Rahul angrier at Kabir. Although they yes. didn't really need to do that because none of that really ends up meaning anything. So never mind.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And he would have felt just as upset if Rohit had been like severely injured and was
yeah.
in the hospital.
But also like we don't even need Rohit.
No.
We don't
yeah.
even need Rahul to
we
be angry.
We don't need any of these people. All yeah. we needed was Kabir.
Exactly. Kabir starts to think so too. Anyway, so yeah, Kabir's like, we need a replacement for Rohit. He approaches Ali about replacing him. Ali is hesitant at first until Kabir pulls off his helmet and says Ali can trust him because he's showing him his face, which no cop has ever seen. Now, Ali agrees to join the gang, and I will say I do feel like he looks stirred.
Wouldn't we all be?
I know. It was just, there was a sexual tension moment there for me where I was just like, I think Ali's maybe a little bit into this.
Yeah. Well, I think that's just John Abraham.
Yeah. It's just the with enticing the hair. Quality. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like he pulls it off and like shakes it out and smirks and is like, yes, I'm handsome.
It's me with my hair. So the gang, including Ali, is now off to Goa. In Goa, Rahul is unhappy about Ali joining the gang, but Kabir says that they don't have to be friends. After this next heist, they will have enough money and they can split up and never see each other again.
It did also just occur to me that, like, no one else really cares that Rohit died.
No, yeah.
Literally no one. They're just like, well, we need another person. All right.
Yeah. None of them really do seem to like or care about each other. No. Only Rahul, because it's his brother.
This is not the Happy New Year heist crew.
No, exactly. Sure. There's no emotional connection that any of them have. And again, it's not clear, like, why is this the last heist? I don't know. But it is, and then yeah. It's all over. It is then revealed that there is, in fact, another member of this gang, and it's Sheena. She arrives on the scene doing donuts on her jet ski, and then strides onto the beach in a bikini with enormous earrings, which I said must have inspired Deepika's look in Pathaan.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It's a good look.
That's such a good look. God, Deepika's great.
Yeah. Ali is very happy to see her again, but Sheena asserts that there is nothing between them. It's just a job. In the next scene, I do want to call attention to the outfit that Sheena is wearing, which looks like a cartoon cavewoman costume. She's wearing a tan matching top and skirt that has like sort of like a really jagged, like angular yeah. edge. And I think it's yeah. one shoulder too. And I was just like, you look like a cavewoman.
That was so early 2000s though, you know, with like the intentional like weird rips and yeah. What was that? It's like,
I don't know.
If it doesn't look like I took scissors to it in a super haphazard way, what am I even doing?
Right. Yeah. Again, not my favorite look, but it's fine.
No.
So the gang's next hit is the Taj Exotica, which boasts Goa's largest casino. And Kabir says that their management predicts they'll make 18 crore rupees by New Year's this year.
That's a lot of money.
It is. The gang is doubtful that they can pull this off, but Kabir assures them that however they do it, it'll be stylish.
I like that that's important to him.
It is, yeah. He's like, we gotta do it with style.
Because, I mean, that does match with his hair.
Right, he's like, I gotta look good doing it, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We see the gang infiltrate the hotel. Ali and Sheena check in as a wealthy married couple. Kabir is a bartender and the rest of the gang as hotel staff. At the casino on New Year's Eve, Sheena tells the hotel manager that she and Ali have to leave that night, and he asks that he pack up their luggage shortly after midnight. Ali keeps talking very openly about the heist in front yep. of witnesses, and when Sheena tells him to be quiet, he says, no worries, it's not like there are any cops around. Cut immediately to Jay, drinking yep. at the bar.
Yeah, these are traits that would have already been pretty obvious about Ali. And like for Kabir being as smart as he is,
yeah,
it's just kind of like, why would you choose this man?
Yeah, Ali's a weird choice. He wouldn't have been yeah. my first choice for a heist because, yeah, he was at one point friends with the cops very recently and yes. is also a little bit of a wild card.
Yeah, but whatever.
Whatever. So yeah, Jay's at the bar. He orders a drink from Kabir, but he doesn't seem to recognize Kabir. And as he goes to return to the table where he and Sweetie are having dinner, Kabir wishes him a happy new year. And Jay says the new year isn't until tomorrow, but Kabir says that they might not see each other tomorrow. But Jay says they definitely will. The gang gathers to discuss what to do now that Jay has shown up, but Kabir isn't bothered, and he says that it's probably just a coincidence. Again, Kabir, don't be stupid.
Yeah, there's no such thing as coincidences.
There's really not. He says that he won't change their plan, and he will pull off the heist even if he has to do it all by himself. This brings us to our next dance number, Salame, which is another one that we could add to our playlist of Spanish and Hindi mashups.
Yeah, this was a good one too.
It's fun. We get some good salsa vibes as Sweetie and Jay and Ali and Sheena tear up the dance floor. Also, over the course of this number, we see the rest of the gang blowing holes through the floor of the hotel until they get down to the safe.
Yep. No one noticed that.
Nobody. Nobody saw a thing. I did, because they're, like, going through bathrooms. So I was like, what if someone was in their bathroom?
Well, they're dead. Be real it's awkward. Fine.
Yeah. Although, they might not be. Like, they might just be sitting on the toilet, and then suddenly, like, some guys fall through the ceiling and then make a hole in the floor.
That'd be embarrassing.
It'd be really although awkward.
It wouldn't be. You're not the one that's being embarrassing.
I'm doing perfectly normal business in the bathroom, and you are just crawling through the floors. So yeah, they get down into the safe, they bag up the cash, and then they hide it in Sheena and Ali's luggage, and then they each return to their stations as if they had never left.
Mm-hmm.
Ali and Sheena leave with their luggage and all of the cash inside. Kabir congratulates the gang, but then the room goes dark, and footage from the robbery starts playing on a screen. Jay struts out of nowhere, slow clapping, and says, I told you I'd see you in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Kabir surrenders, and Jay walks him across the glitter-strewn floor as the cops nab the rest of the gang. Kabir tells Jay that if Jay were a thief, they would be friends, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Kabir doesn't really have any friends, so.
No, he like doesn't seem to like anyone.
He really doesn't. But then he reminds Jay that he might have caught the gang, but he doesn't have the cash. And Jay says, oh, yes, we do. Ali is putting it back where it belongs.
What?
And so it turns out, yep, Jay and Ali's fight was a sham. Ali's been working with the cops all along. But yeah. Kabir still has one trick up his sleeve. All of the lights go out in the hotel, and he and the rest of the gang flee.
In all the moments where they're having this, like, slow walk and talk conversation, mm-hmm. when it would stop and then it'd be like, when each one would make, like, a statement or something, I also felt like there was some sexual tension.
Oh, yes,
there.
Absolutely. Yes. This whole movie was riddled with sexual tension.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The gang rides up to where Ali has Sheena tied up in the back of the truck, and he's waiting for Jay. But, of course, yeah, the gang gets there first, and Kabir starts beating up Ali, and then he does have a gun now, which he aims at Ali, but then hands the gun to Sheena and tells her to shoot him instead. But she can't. Yeah. She has been charmed by Ali after all, and so Kabir takes the gun back. But just then, Jay drives by on a motorboat.
Yeah.
And he shoots Kabir in the hand.
Yeah.
Kabir drops the gun and the biker boys flee, but Sheena stays back with Ali and tenderly wipes blood from his mouth. Jay then seems to be shooting at Ali to get him to
move.
Come and get in the boat with him, which is
again,
wild.
I feel like Jay's a little trigger happy is all I'm saying.
I definitely agree with that. Yeah. So, yeah, Ali goes to the boat and he asks Sheena to please not disappear again. They chase after the truck, and at one point, they launch the boat over a bridge as the truck is passing so they can shoot the truck through the windshield, which is wild.
Yeah.
They do break the windshield, but they don't hit Kabir or whoever it is who's driving the truck. They're fine.
Which is interesting, because bullets definitely would go through a normal windshield.
And they definitely did. There's, like, clearly holes, but whatever. Kabir kicks out the windshield, then spots some conveniently placed petrol barrels, which he shoots. They explode, mm-hmm. but Jay manages to jump right through the flames. Cool.
I mean, we have already learned that he is flame retardant.
He's impervious to fire damage.
Correct.
Jay shoots a grappling hook at the truck, so then the boat is being dragged behind the truck on the road.
Yeah.
And when Kabir slams on the brakes, Jay and Ali are able to jump onto the back of the truck. Kabir gives the wheel over to the guy who's in the cab with him. He climbs up onto the top of the truck too, and he and Jay start fighting. Ali climbs into the truck and he fights the rest of the gang,
mm-hmm.
getting them gone. I also really like, you can see how slow the truck is actually driving.
It's going so, so slow. And then during the scenes, like on top of the truck with Kabir and Jay, like, at times, the scenery is not moving
right,
at all.
Right, there were certain
it's
angles
completely
where...
stationary.
Like, yeah, they were, like, clearly trying to just show the sky so that the truck would. But it's like, you can still tell the truck's not moving.
Yeah.
But that's okay. We had fun.
It was fun. And there was a cool move where, like, Jake kicked the gun out of Kabir's hand, and Kabir's face was like, whoa.
Yeah. There were some really good moves. Like, there was one where Kabir, like, catches Jay's foot as he's going to kick, mm-hmm. and then Jay, like, picks up his other foot and kicks him with that instead.
Yeah.
And that was cool because you could see it was actually Abhishek doing it, so.
It was cool.
Yeah.
I always like a fight on top of a train or on top of a truck or, on top of a bus or a helicopter. I feel like that doesn't make sense.
That'd be a bad idea.
that doesn't make sense.
Unless the helicopter's stationary and you're, like, balancing on the things.
Okay. On top of a plane.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so, yeah, fighty, kicky, punchy, woo. Ali makes his way into the cab of the truck. He gets rid of the driver, so now he has taken the wheel. Meanwhile, Kabir and Jay, they are fighting. Jay ends up falling down onto the windshield, but Ali stops the truck, and Kabir quickly gets on his bike and drives away with the cash.
I do like in that scene, though, when Jay, like, flips upside down and is like, oh my god, Ali, you're driving. And Ali's like, yeah, but you're in my way, man. I can't see.
And he's like, why don't you stop?
We don't have to be driving. And he's like, oh, yeah, I was just having so much fun.
Yeah, he got swept up in the moment. Kabir's riding off with the cash, but Jay manages to, like, get in front of him on another bike. And then mm-hmm. Ali gets behind him on a third bike. And
where did they find these bikes?
I don't know.
In the middle of nowhere?
They had the bikes, the other biker guy's bikes in the truck.
Oh, I guess that's true. Okay.
So they've got Kabir surrounded. And Kabir makes another comment about sneaking past Jay without him even noticing. And then he turns and he drives off a nearby cliff.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but his backpack is open, so all the money goes flying out behind him.
Yeah, because I guess it doesn't matter anymore.
No, it doesn't.
I was not expecting this ending.
No, yeah, because he, like, crashes down to the rocks, like, dead. And I really thought it was going to be, because I know he doesn't come back in Doom 2, but I really thought it was going to be sort of like does he die? Does he escape?
And ambiguous. I still kind of feel like we don't know.
Yeah, he could have gotten away.
Mm-hmm.
Jay and Ali look over the cliff together, and Jay says it was a waste of life. And then he says if Kabir hadn't been a thief, they would have been friends.
Yeah.
As they walk away together, Ali begs Jay to let him be a police officer, and also not to send Sheena to jail. But Jay just tells him to shut up.
Yeah, they have a nice little buddy bickering after this man died in front of them.
Except that I feel like Jay never shows any appreciation for Ali whatsoever. Like, no. These two don't actually like each other, which I think is a little sad.
Or Ali likes everyone.
Ali likes everyone.
And Jay is just a jerk.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I wouldn't hate seeing a little bit of appreciation towards Ali from Jay. But we do need to talk about our end credits number, which I forgot to write down the title of this one, but it was very sexual.
It was so sexual.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, Abhishek just, like, lounging on that couch in a room full of candles.
He was in a bathtub, but
fully clothed.
Yeah.
And then he, like, pretends to lick the flame.
He's holding the candle in his hand in a really suggestive manner and licks it.
It was a choice.
It was really something. And then, yeah, the woman who is performing this number, like, she's got Uday tied up and is dancing for him. And then she and John Abraham are, like, rolling around in the mud together. It was just, like...
There was a lot.
This is very, very sexual. And I wasn't prepared for it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's the real end.
I did, like, keep waiting for, like, end credit scene showing, you know, Kabir, like, stepping out of the water or something. And then I was like, oh, okay, I guess he is dead.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, because I don't think he shows up in any of the other movies, which is, you know, that feels like a loss.
There is, like, rumors about a Doom 4.
Oh, boy.
So what if all of them come back?
That'd really be something.
Although they're also, like, everyone's involved in, like, the spy universe now.
Everyone's got other stuff going on. Yeah. But it would be fun if everyone came back together for Doom 4. Everyone's, like, in their 50s now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love that for them. The only other thing I was going to say was that I do see why the joke is that, like, this movie makes people feel like they could do heists.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of planning.
No, you just go into
the heists. Yeah, you just do it. So, yeah, it really does make it feel like an achievable goal.
It just works. Yeah, like, the villain in Doom 2 feels like he plans a lot more.
Yes, there's definitely a lot of, I don't think anyone could do that, and I'm not even sure this man can. But yeah. He can, and that's great.
Right, but in Doom, you're right. It's kind of just like, oh no, you just get some buddies, you get on some bikes, yeah. You steal some stuff, you're good.
Burst through some floors and ceilings, you're in a safe, and off you go.
Well, as we've spoken about, there was a bank robbery.
Exactly. Yeah, you just do it. Although those guys did get caught.
They did get caught.
Yeah.
So don't rob banks, y'all.
Good advice.
Mm-hmm. Are we ready for research?
I'm ready.
It's a tiny, small research segment, and it's kind of just about Doom.
I'm excited.
Yeah, some about the cultural impact. So Doom was released on August 27th, 2004,
nice.
To mixed reviews from critics. It was praised for its performances, action sequences, and soundtrack, but the script was negatively compared to Hollywood franchises like Fast and Furious and the Ocean's films.
Oh, sure.
I'm like, just don't compare them. It's its own thing. But Doom still became a commercial success by grossing over 290 million rupees, which is 3.5 million USD, in India, and becoming the third highest grossing Indian film of 2004 after Veer Zara, which we have not watched yet. Good Shah Rukh film.
Mm-hmm.
At least I'm assuming it's good. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
It made a lot of money, apparently, so.
Yeah. And Main Hoona.
Ah.
Yes.
Also a good Shah Rukh film.
Also a good Shah Rukh film. At the 50th Filmfare Awards, Doom received 6 nominations, including Best Film, Best Villain for John Abraham, and Best Music Director for Pritam. It ended up winning 2 awards for Best Editing and Best Sound Design.
That's both very well deserved.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And as of 2024, the Doom franchise is the 8th highest grossing film franchise in Indian cinema.
Hey, that's pretty good. Top 10.
Yeah. Huzzah. The first one is the YRF spy universe.
Yeah, it would have to be.
But some reviews.
Yeah.
I just wrote these reviews down because I was like, I like how they phrase this. A critic wrote in Time Out, shamelessly ripping off plot ideas and entire sequences from Tango and Cash, Lethal Weapon, The Fast and Furious, Ocean's 11, and Thelma and Louise, this energetic and surprisingly enjoyable nonsense zooms along at full throttle, breaking only for the peppy song.
I enjoy that description a lot. What was it again? The nonsense? The
surprisingly enjoyable nonsense.
Yeah, I think that's the exact perfect way to describe this franchise.
yeah. And another critic named Anupama Chopra, writing for India Today.
Love Anupama Chopra.
Yeah, right? I was going to say, that is her, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same Anupama Chopra.
I would assume it is because she's a... Yeah, like she's a film reporter. Critic, so yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Okay, so yeah, so she said, Doom is adolescent, heaven-fast bikes, hot babes, tons of kick-ass action with no strings attached. But there are lots of trendy split screenshots of shiny bikes, burning rubber, and fast-paced stunts involving boats and trucks. Not to mention sexy songs with water hoses. Acting isn't the point here either. The performances are pure posture.
Yeah.
So true.
I feel like the critics are understanding what this movie set out to do.
Yes.
And again, having watched The Romantics and hearing Adi Chopra talk about like what his vision was for this movie, he literally said, he's like, okay, it's an action sequence, a comedy scene, and then a dance number. Like, we're going to follow this formula and this movie's going to be a hit. And he was right. And I feel like that's exactly what the critics are saying. They're like, yeah, it's a formulaic movie about nonsense and no strings attached, and we all just had a really good time.
Yeah,
and I also do think, too, like, I think about this anytime I hear commentary on, like, a film kind of ripping off another film sequence, like, and I just think about the fact that, like, yeah, okay, maybe it's not the most original idea, but it's fun to see a different industry try the same thing.
Right.
And to see how they might do it a little bit differently or how they might put their own spin on it.
Yeah. Also, like, there's only so many original ideas out there.
It's true. Yeah. You could say anything's a ripoff of anything.
Exactly. Ahead of the 20th anniversary of Doom, Abhishek Bachchan has made an Instagram post where he credited Doom for his success as an actor, calling it the film that changed it all. He also wrote about his favorite Doom memory, which was when Yash Chopra set up a special screening just for himself and Amitabh Bachchan. After they'd watched it several times, they left the theater and Yash said, "The boys have made a good film," which I think they mentioned in The Romantics. And reflecting on this memory, Abhishek wrote, "Coming from two men we had grown up in front of and whom we idolized, it was the greatest stamp of approval ever. Today, when I think about the entire process of making Doom, I smile. And that is the greatest feeling."
Yay!
Yeah, and it does seem like it was probably a lot of fun to make.
Definitely, yeah. Just, like, make a fun movie like this with all your friends. Like, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember, too, them saying that this was, like, his first, like, hit as an actor.
Right.
Which must have been really special. Because I'm sure it has been hard for him to step out of his father's shadow.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I don't think he has necessarily the acting chops of his father or other actors who have followed after their parents. So I'm happy for him.
that he got this success and has had other successes. Yeah. And there was a November 2023 article in the Hindustan Times written by Devansh Sharma called "Sanjay Godvi's Doom franchise walked so YRF spy universe could run. Here's what made its villains far cooler." Which was fun. It was a fun little read. But Sharma mentions that the impact of the chase sequences in Doom was so widespread that there was a boost in the sales of the specific brand of motorcycle that Kabir was riding across the entire country. And Sharma writes, "The idea of a biker gang beating the speed of police jeeps, forcing the cops to take to bikes of their own, symbolized the jobless youth of that time who could look muscular and ride fast bikes but were left with serving as pizza delivery boys as their day jobs." Sharma goes on to compare the simplicity of the Doom villains to the revenge-driven villains of the YRF spy universe, specifying that those villains have a backstory. And the Doom villains don't.
They don't. But at the same time, the YRF villains are just pure evil.
Yeah.
And again, the Doom villains, like, I guess, are we calling Rithik the villain of Doom 2? Because you definitely feel things for him.
Sharma talks about that too. And says, Doom focuses solely on the cat and mouse game between the thieves and the police instead of saddling its villains with unnecessary backstories to justify their actions. The Doom villains steal purely because they're after money. And as Sharma writes specifically about Doom 2, there was a reason why Rithik's Aryan only stole original pieces of art and craft. You could trust his taste, given his gorgeous villa and salad and wine as a preferred choice of dinner. Which I appreciated. Yeah.
It's he's like, a fancy man.
He is a fancy man. And Sharma ends by saying that the Doom film set the stage for letting YRF think outside the box of old world romance and gave Aditya Chopra the eyes to look beyond Swiss Alps into Swiss banks.
Ooh, that's a good
line. That's a good line. That's a good line, Sharma. That's a good line. Which obviously, sets the stage for the bigger spy universe. So
absolutely.
I like that.
I think that's fantastic. That's such a good little article.
Yeah.
That sounded a little condescending. That's a good article.
No, it was good.
Good observation.
I did cut some things, like they talked about the Doom 3 villain and I was like, "Oh, I don't want spoilers or anything."
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, so despite its mixed reviews, Doom undoubtedly has had a big cultural impact. Mm-hmm. It inspired the Chilembra bank robbery, which we've talked about on the pod before. Uh-huh. It started the craze around high-speed luxury motorcycles. And according to one person on Reddit that I found, it made it so that every teenager who could ride a bike considered himself John. Because everyone wanted to be John Abraham.
Sure.
No one wanted to be Jay.
No, of course not.
And Doom was also blamed for an increase in incidents of street racing, bike-borne theft, and stunting on public roads. And many young people also made modifications to their bikes in the style of NOS.
Oh, boy.
Apparently you can get, like, NOS modification kits. Mm. I don't know what that does or what that looks like. But that's fun and hopefully not at all dangerous.
I know. I was going to say some of that stuff sounds fun. Some of it sounds dangerous. And I just, I hope everyone's okay.
As recently as April 2024, criminals are still being inspired by Doom. Three robbers were arrested for using high-speed bikes to steal people's valuables and then ride away.
Wow.
And they would change clothes while on the bikes to confuse police and eyewitnesses. And when caught, they all said they were deeply inspired by Doom.
I just love that people are asking them those kinds of questions. Like, what inspired you to do this crime?
Yeah, it's like, why'd you do it? Doom, man. Well, I don't know. Looked fun.
Oh,
sure.
That's amazing.
But that's the research. That's great. It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate hearing the reviews. None of it comes as a surprise to me. But again, yeah, you're right. Like, regardless of how good or bad some people might say this movie is, you can't deny the impact that it has had culturally. And
yeah,
that's really cool. And here we are talking about it 20 years later.
Yeah. It's fun. It's a good time. I'm glad we're finally delving into the Doom franchise.
I know, me too.
So, Bollywood news.
I don't have anything.
I don't have anything either, although I thought I did because I had a dream. Just really quickly, I had a dream that there was a, like, animated kids show coming out.
Okay.
That was narrated by Shah Rukh Khan.
That's amazing.
And in the dream, I, like, saw the trailer for it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, Shah Rukh is, like, narrating this kids show? And I was like, I would totally watch this. And, like, I looked it up on IMDb, and it was there as, like, upcoming projects. I was like, oh my god, I'm so excited. To the point where I literally today was like, oh, I have Bollywood news to share. We have to talk about it. I was like, that's not real.
That's a dream.
I did dream it, but how cool would that be?
That sounds like a wonderful dream, and I hope that it comes true, because I feel like that would make for a really good kids show. I don't need to know anything else about the show.
I can't tell you what it was about. Yeah. It was just a standard animated, like, park scene.
Sure.
And Shah Rukh was talking, and I don't speak Hindi.
Not so even you didn't know what dreams. He was saying, yeah.
So, yep.
Well, that is fantastic. I thank you very much for sharing.
Yeah, that hopeful Bollywood news.
Yes.
But pluggables, mm-hmm. Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram and TikTok. Do what you do. Also, subscribe to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You could also consider leaving a rating or review on said podcast platform. But as always, regardless of what you choose to do or not do in interacting with us, we so appreciate you for listening.
We do indeed. And join us on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists. We've finally got some new songs to add to those playlists. We've had a lot of dance numberless weeks, but we add our favorite songs from the movies we watch to those playlists and link them in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays. I apologize for stumbling through this, but I have already pulled up Doom 2 on IMDb and the trailer is playing.
And it's very distracting.
I am distracted.
I was gonna say, yeah, I feel like we are going to make up for, like, the long drought of not adding dance numbers with the Doom franchise.
Exactly.
It's just, like, because there's, like, three that have to go on there from Doom 2.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones.
Four, really. Anyway.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no surprise there. We're watching Doom 2 next.
Yep. Doom Machale. Once more. Come on, you people.
And when love comes your way,
you know it's here to stay.
Again, it's really nice to have a song that's in English that we can just rock out to.
Yeah, because we are white girls.
Yeah, because we are English-speaking white girls who would like to sing along.
Yeah. What's our IMDb synopsis?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Back in action, Doom 2 reinvents the action comedy genre and propels it into the 21st century. Go on and enjoy the ride once again with Jay and Ali. Once again, not an actual plot description, just some descriptions of the vibes.
Yeah, okay. I have a slightly more of a plot description. Again, Doom 2 is available on Prime, Amazon Prime. All the Dooms are.
Yep.
Thank God. It's great. The Amazon Prime synopsis starts with, Doom 2 reinvents the action comedy genre and propels it into the 21st century. Uh-huh. Yep, so we've heard that before. Ali is now ACP Jay Dixit's right-hand man. Enter Mr. A. A high-tech international thief whose next target is Mumbai.
Oh, no.
Once in Mumbai, Mr. A finds his match in Suneri, who I am just remembering talks about herself in the third person, which is so annoying, it's fine. A clever thief. She makes him an offer he finds hard to refuse. And so the game begins.
Ooh.
That's sexy.
It is because we know it is.
And we do. Wet basketball. That's all I'm going to say.
That's right. There is basketball in all the movies. We'll see if it's in Doom 3 too.
I also like that the descriptors for Doom 2 on Amazon Prime say thoughtful, sensual. Like, sure.
Thoughtful is an interesting one.
It was the kiss in Doom 2 that was problematic, so.
That's true. Yeah, for interesting reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is going to be an even better time than Doom 1, just because, again, we already love Doom 2 so much.
Yep, I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. So, gonna go watch that now. So, everyone enjoy. Because you should.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't tell you how to feel, but...
But we feel like you probably will enjoy.
Yes.
If we know you like we think we do.
Yes. If you like nonsense, well, buckle up. But yeah, until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
Yeah, to teach us how to do heists.
So many heist lessons. I feel like we've really been taking notes this year.
We have, yeah. We're ready to rob so many banks. But don't tell anyone.
Yeah.